there are probably very few things that we could agree are universals for all people. We're each so unique, and we love our individuality. We have different backgrounds and families of origin and life experiences. Not one of us here today shares the same experience or perspective on a given topic. And if we think globally of all the many colors and cultures of folks that make up this wonderful wide world, then imagining a universal truth becomes even more difficult. But I think that there is at least one universal truth. And that is that at some time in each person's life, he or she questions the existence of God. Is there a God? Is there something out there or maybe in here that's bigger than me? Obviously, some folks come to the conclusion that there is not. There is no God. What you see is what you get, nothing more. Life is life, and when it's done, so make the most of it while you're here. Others come to the conclusion that, yes, there is a God. The world did not come into being by accidental forces of nature, but by intention. The question of, is there a God, is the only universal here. After that, the diversity of understanding spreads rapidly. Once, however, an individual or individual group decides by faith that, yes, there is a God, then the next step seems to be to want to know God. What can I know about God? How do I know about God? Where do I go to find out about God? We Christians would direct a questioning person to Scripture, to the Old and New Testament. We would say the place to learn about God is in Scripture. Our Jewish cousins would say the same thing. And our Muslim cousins would say the same, but would direct the questioner to the Quran rather than the Bible. We Christians would also talk to the questioning one about Jesus, specifically as the living embodiment of God. His example, we would say, is the living example of what God is like. If you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. Read about Jesus. Study Jesus' life and ministry. We Episcopalians would also add that we learn about God through tradition and reason. We learn about God from those who've gone before us, who've been part of the tradition of the Orthodox Church from the beginning and have handed their knowledge on to us. Knowing that all knowledge and tradition and history are not equally representative of what we continue to learn about God as we experience God throughout time, we rely on our reason to be the final test of our experience and knowledge of God. Our reason must always be supported by Jesus, his life, and his teaching. The people of God have always struggled to know God, always wanted to know what God is like and if God is truly there. In times of prosperity, the people of God seem to assume that God is directing their prosperity or rewarding them for being faithful. And in times of hardship, that God is punishing his people for their disobedience. That's how we would do it if we were God, so that must be how God functions. That seems to be a consistent theme in our ancient scriptures. So today we hear from the prophet Haggai, the one who was sent to be the voice piece of God. The people have been living in exile. Times could not have been harder. And they return to find their temple demolished. In their understanding, they cannot worship if there is no temple. I imagine some of us would think that if Grace was destroyed by a fire or a tornado, that we could not worship. Not most of us, but some, I imagine. But then it was all of them. No temple, no God. If the temple is gone, then God has left us forever. And here Haggai gives the people a glimmer of the way of God. I'm not gone, says God. I'm right here with you. I have been here with you all along and will be here with you no matter what. Even when you are convinced that you are utterly alone because of your sinfulness and bad behavior, I'm still here. Even when you try to hide like Adam, I'm still here. And when you run and run and run, and even when you deny the reality of the presence of God and act as though God is not a reality, even then, God is still here. Sometimes the reality of the presence of God is comforting. At other times, we probably prefer that God not be so close to us. A little later in our history, the Sadducees come to Jesus wanting to know about God. They ask a question that's really moot for them to begin with. They don't believe in the resurrection in any form, so why would they ask who's married to whom in the afterlife? It's a test. It's a trick. But Jesus doesn't confront their ploy. He answers their question, and in doing so, helps them to learn a little more about God, who God is, and what God's like. Jesus says, don't worry about human constraints like marriage and the resurrection. That's not important. What's important to God is that you be with him in life and in death. In fact, said Jesus, death is not what you think it is at all. It's life with God. Jesus says to those who are trying to limit God's work to the here and now, no, don't try and limit what God can do. Don't try to constrain God to your limited ways of thinking. God is bigger than anything you can imagine and can work in ways that are beyond even your wildest imaginings. In the 20th chapter of Luke, before the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, before Jesus' descent among the dead, Jesus says to his questioners, the Sadducees, remember when Moses was talking to that burning bush? He called God the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. They're all alive to him. They're all alive with him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are all alive and with God before the crucifixion and resurrection, before the descent among the dead. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were not Christians in any sense of the word. But they are counted as those who are alive in the presence of God by Jesus. Those are words out of his very own mouth. It seems most often that we want to know God in our own terms. The people of Israel, freshly back from the exile in Egypt, did. They thought that because the temple was gone, that God was gone. The Sadducees did. They thought that dead was dead was dead, end of story. The Pharisees certainly did, even though we don't hear from them on this particular day. Do we limit God? Not really. We can't limit God. But we can limit our thinking about God. We do have limited thinking about God just by our human nature. But we can continue to struggle and learn and grow in our knowledge of what God is like through our experience of Jesus in Scripture, tradition, and reason. Always being open to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We should be prepared to have our minds open and our foundations shaken. Amen.